All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, looking at Elijah. We've looked at him for the past couple of weeks. We looked at him last week out of the book of James and out preaching on the power of God. When that in supplication and prayer. Now, we're not going to preach on the power of God this morning, but we're going to use a thought, and that starting in verse 11. And the Bible said, and he said, go forth. Now, here the Lord, he is talking to Elijah. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness, on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. You can be seated this morning. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we know in the prior chapters, we know that it's not rain in the nation of Israel, and that because because Elijah has prayed that it might not rain. They end up on Mount Carmel. He's going to have a contest on that between the children of Israel, between Baal and between God. You remember the story? He comes up there and asks them the question, how long halts you between two opinions? He said, if Baal be God, then let him be God. He said, if God be God, then he'll be God. And we know that they cried and they cut themselves and they danced up there on the altar all day long from morning to evening. We know that they put on a show and cried Baal for him to come, but he would not come. 63 words after Elijah prayed, God answered by fire, sucked up the water, sucked up the sacrifice, sucked up the rocks that was on the ground, and God showed himself to be God that day. Elijah went on a little further, and that up on top of Mount Carmel began to pray that it might rain, and rain came. And we know the day came the next day when Jezebel and that had him on the run, and he went and sat under the juniper tree, and God fed him in that with that cake and said, you're going to have to go 40 days in the strength of that meat. And here we find that Elijah is sitting at the entrance of the cave. And we find that God had told him and sent him there, if you let me say that. And he tells him why. Elijah does. Says, I've been very jealous, and that for the Lord of hosts, in verse 10. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. I begin to think about those three things right there, that all three of those was destructive. The strong wind was destructive, the fire was destructive, and the earthquake was destructive. Hey, can I tell you that the Lord is never going to be involved in destruction when he's trying to get you to do something for him. You need to understand that this morning. But I want you to notice, and this is what I'm going to preach on, with the Lord being our helper. And let me say this, by the way. A lot of people are looking for the Lord in the fire. They are looking for the Lord in the whirlwind. And they are looking for the Lord in the earthquake. And they're going to miss him because he's going to be that still, small voice. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. God being our helper is the voice of the Lord. Hey, by way of introduction, can I tell you today that the voice of the Lord, it's a great voice and it's great in power. I mean, God sat back on nothing one day when he was in heaven and the Bible says that he spoke the world into existence. I'd call that great power in his word today, wouldn't you? Hey, listen, men, you can't speak and create nothing with our voice, but God simply spoke and the world and everything that's in outer space and everything here appeared as he wanted it to. Hey, wouldn't you call that great power in his voice today? Hey, listen, there's great power when his voice and that rumbled upon Mount Sinai when he was giving the nation of Israel and that the law and giving it to Moses. And I mean, his glory came as that big thick cloud and it thundered up there as God and that spoke. And we know that he spoke and ordained and that the Lord Jesus Christ and commended him and was pleased with him in approval at his baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And even on the Mount of Transfiguration, I believe he added, "And hear ye him." So folk need to listen and back to the voice of the Lord this morning. But four quick things and we'll go to the house. First of all, let me say that God's voice is a voice that convicts sinners. Amen. Listen, the night that I got saved, something was speaking to my heart. It sure wasn't the devil. Amen. He might have been speaking to my heart, but he was telling me not to go. And Christ Jesus the Lord was beckoning me to come. Listen, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And then what did he say? He said, "And if any man hear my voice." Hey, the night that I got saved and the day that you did, if you're saved today, hey, the Heavenly Father and that by the Holy Spirit had to speak unto your heart. Listen, what did he do with the Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 over there? What did he do? Not only did he roll back and let Saul see his glory, the Bible said that there was a light that shined brighter than the noonday sun. And then the Bible said that he heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he began to deal with his heart. Do you remember the day that God began to deal with your heart about being saved? Hey, it brings conviction to the sinner's heart. Listen, when God began to deal with my heart and speak to me and show me that I was lost, listen, conviction flooded my soul and flooded my heart, and I knew that I had to do something. Amen. I don't know about you, but when God spoke to my heart, you remember when you was in trouble when you was a kid, and some of you might remember this. Boy, I hated to hear Mama's voice when I was in trouble. Mama had a different tone in her voice when I was in trouble. And you said, "What about you, Daddy?" Daddy didn't say much when we got in trouble. Most of the time, it was that right there. I mean, he could snap his finger and it would rattle the whole house when we was kids. And he'd look at you and you knew what you were doing and you better stop. But when Mama began to talk, listen, there was a different inflection in her voice. And you could just tell different that you were in trouble. But you know what? I remember being in trouble. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I can remember, and Mama always wanted to talk to you. Always wanted to reason with you on some things and talk to you. And she would talk a lot of times when she'd get you in a chair and get in front of you, she'd want to talk to you in a real quiet voice. And she would just say what she had to say. And you know what? It would make me feel about that big. I don't know what it is about mamas and their voice, but I believe she could do it to me today. Amen. I'm 44 years old. I've been married for 25 years and out of the house. I believe that she could still do it today if she wanted to. But you remember when Christ Jesus came and knocked on your heart? Well, he didn't holler at me.
He didn't scream at me. It was that still, small voice. I've never, ever forgot that. That night that I got saved. Where were you at when the voice of the Lord? He said, "Preacher, are you hearing things? What have I told you, mom and daddies, to teach your children? That there's going to come a day that they're going to hear a voice. And there ain't going to be nobody standing around." Kind of like when Samuel, over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, when God began to deal with Samuel over there, and he spoke to him, and he rose up, and he ran to Eli over there, and finally Eli realized what was happening. God was speaking to his heart. You need to teach your children that there's coming a day that God's going to knock on their heart, and he's going to speak to them, but it's going to be in a still, small voice. It's not going to be, you know, the night that I got saved, and I know that folk can get saved when folk are shouting and carrying on. I understand that. And I know that when folk do get saved, that creates some shouting every now and again. But listen, the night that I got saved, I couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached on. But I know that when it was invitation time, I needed to move. And listen, there's a lot of things that I don't understand and that I can't grasp sometimes, but I do know that he spoke to my heart. Listen, he said in Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now and let us reason together." What? Saith the Lord. As he knocks, and conviction comes, he says, "Come now and let us reason together." He may send a preacher. He may send a tract. He may send a person to witness to you. He may send a friend by that would encourage you to have got saved. But somewhere along the road, God planted something in your heart. And that began to stir in his voice. I began to work in your heart. And you couldn't get away from it. Being raised in church, Brother Olaf said that he would rather, in his girl's home, have a girl come in that knew nothing about the Lord as to have one come in that was raised in church. It's easy to take a sinner and one that's never been known anything about God, that just knows maybe just a little about Jesus. It's easy to convince them, for the Holy Spirit to convince them and show them that they're lost. But you take somebody that is religious and that has grown up in church and that has never come to him, that's been good all their life, if you'd let me say that, friend, that it's harder to convince them. It's a voice that you can't get away from. I believe that's why folk try to run from church. It's a voice that I remember the night that I got saved. I remember God dealing with my heart, and I remember moving and going and getting saved. And listen, as my wife says, you know, memories kind of slip and they go, and I can't remember near as much as I used to about that time. But I remember the day that God dealt with me, or the day that I surrendered in that to preach. And I remember thinking about that and him dealing with my heart. I really remember the first time that he ever dealt with my heart about preaching. I don't remember all the times in between that, but I remember the first time, and I remember the last time that he ever dealt with me about that. His voice was so real on that Sunday morning. I when he began to deal with my heart about that in that service, that I sat there while my preacher preached and that out of the Bible, and he was preaching on God. I was looking for a man to stand in the gap. I've never forgot that. And God just began to speak into my heart that day. And I remember there was a whole bunch of us sitting on the front row. Well, not on the front row, we were on the second row. And I remember I had a buddy of mine sitting to the left of me. And boy, while my preacher preached, I sat there and cried. And I know that tears don't mean everything in the world, but he knew something was wrong. And he leaned over and he said, "What's wrong?" And I wouldn't tell him. But I knew that God was speaking to my heart and twisting it up in knots. And I was going to have to do something. I was scared to death to leave the church house that morning. But it's a voice
that you can't run from. Folk harden their heart to make it quieter. And by the way, it will get quieter the more we harden our heart toward God. It'll just get quieter and quieter. I'm determined that's why you won't find sinners sitting in the church house. Because they're afraid of what they might get confronted with. Not from us, but from the Holy Spirit. The voice of God. Listen, you might be able to run from my voice. You might be able to turn it off. You might be able to stop your ears up. But hey, friend, when God gets in your heart and begins to deal with it and speak to you, you can't get away from that thing. He's always there and can't get away from it. So if you're lost this morning and God's voice is calling, you know when Elijah moved, when that still small voice came. He didn't move in the fire. He didn't move in the earthquake. He didn't move, friend. I listen when the whirlwind comes. But he moved when that still small voice was heard. It's a voice that brings conviction. It's a voice that brings conviction, not only for the sinner, but it brings conviction and that in the believer's life when sin and that enters in. In Genesis chapter 3, we find the story of Adam and Eve. And let me ask you a question here this morning. I'm not giving you an excuse to sin, nor a reason to sin. But a lot of people think that they're good and they don't sin. And the Bible says over there, if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. Listen, we make him a liar. And you got to understand something else. Adam and Eve was living in perfect flesh, in a perfect body. And friend, they still sin. Amen. So what makes us think that we're not sinners this morning? But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we'll go back up to verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open. What had happened? They ate that fruit, didn't they? That they were not supposed to. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they realized at this point, after they had partaken of the fruit that Satan had deceived Eve into taking, and Adam took it willingly, and so they both sinned, and their eyes are open, and that to know they were naked. So now they've got to do something about that nakedness. And so they sewed themselves fig leaves together. Can I say there's a lot of folk and that trying to cover their sin on their own, and it'll never work. But then the Bible said in verse 8 that they heard what? The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Let me park right here and I say this is why some folk don't want to come to church again. Some folk that are saved, you can't get them to darken the door of a church because there's sin in their heart and in their life, and they don't want to deal with it, and they know that if they come to church again, just like that lost man, woman, boy, or girl, they're going to be faced with their sin. They're going to be faced and that with conviction, and they don't want to deal with it. And so what did Adam and Eve do when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden? What did they do? They ran and hid, didn't they? There's a lot of folk trying to hide from the voice of the Lord today. There's a lot of folk trying to hide. You can't get away from him. You'll go to bed with him. You'll wake up with him. Listen, you can't get away from him. I can't get away from him. It's one way I know I'm saved. When I do wrong, listen, I can hear him. I mean, I can hear him. How about you? You know, if the child of God, if you say that you're saved and you can go out and you can sin and it don't bother you, I listen, there's something wrong. And I tell you that when God came walking in the cool of the day right here and he was calling for Adam and Eve, he knew where they were. He knew. The Bible said that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden, and the Lord God called. So here again, the voice of God unto Adam and said, where art thou? I remember the first time I ever preached on that, just as a young preacher. It's amazing what comes back to your mind sometimes. I even remember which church I preached it in, up in Paint Rock. And I listened, preaching on where art thou? And Adam and Eve had hid themselves and that from the voice. But look what he said in verse 10. And he said, I heard what? Thy voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And so that's the question that Adam did not want to face. There's a lot of folk not wanting to face the questions that God has to put to them. Is that sin that you're in? Don't want to face it. He didn't want to face God. Has there been time you didn't want to face God? Has there been time you didn't want to come to church because there's something in your life that's keeping you from being able to serve God, that's keeping you from fellowship with Him, that's keeping you and now from having a relationship with Him that you need to have? I believe that prodigal son, and you take this and throw it out, this Mark's preaching now, but I believe when that prodigal got down there in that far country, I believe that he could hear the words of his dad in his ear. I believe he could hear him. I believe no doubt he told him he didn't need to do what he was doing. I'd say no doubt he told him what was going to happen to him when he did. And no doubt he told him when you want to come home, you come home. So how do you know that? Because I know that a believer that gets out in sin can come home. They some gets out there so far. Peter talks about that they don't even remember that they were forgiven from their sin. That's pretty far out there, ain't it? When a man and a woman get so wicked, friend, and that they've been saved, but they're living so wicked, you say, won't God get them eventually? He sure will. If you've truly been saved, but he calls in conviction. It's what twists you hard up in knots when he calls. But then it's a voice of comfort, ain't it? It's a voice of comfort. You remember what I told you when I was in trouble and mama would begin to talk and you'd feel about that tall. But boy, when you got hurt, boy, didn't you love to hear mama's voice? See, that same voice that could bring conviction in your heart, I could bring comfort to your soul when she just began to talk. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And look in verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Hey, can I tell you tonight, today that Jesus knew who she was? The Bible said in verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave, that he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon,
Now get this. You understand what's going on? He has turned and he's looking at the woman. Now the Bible said right here that he turned to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. Right? He's looking at the woman, but he's talking to Simon. And he says, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sin..." Now listen. "Wherefore I say, the voice of the Lord, "wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is that? Who is that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Here sits a woman that knew who she was and knew what she was. And she come to Christ. No doubt she had heard him. No doubt she knew who he was. She knew that he was the Son of God. And she's come to that Pharisee's house and got at his feet and wept and cried and washed his feet with her hair and anointed him with that ointment out of that alabaster box. And listen, Jesus knew why she come. I don't know if she ever asked to be forgiven. I don't know, friend, if she verbally asked that out loud. But he knew why she was there. Ain't you glad you don't have to be able to talk, hear, see, walk, move, and that to be able to be saved? What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You know what you do? Listen, when you get saved, it's not by what you say out of your mouth. It's by what you believe in your heart that he can save you. And here sits that woman that's weeping and crying because she's before the very Son of God. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Reckon how she felt. Reckon how she felt in her heart when he looked at her and said, "Thy sins are forgiven." You know that day or night that you knelt, or whether you knelt your head, but you had to kneel on your heart, no doubt, and that to get saved. What a voice of comfort that come in to know that we're forgiven, that we're no longer guilty for our sins before a holy and a just and a righteous God, that we're no longer guilty before him because Christ Jesus the Lord forgave us of our sins. Ain't that comforting today? It's comforting to me. I listen to know that I'm not guilty anymore. I can't be found guilty. Hey, my sins were washed away. Revelation 25. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Heard a good message on the blood this morning before I come on the radio. But it's a voice of comfort for the sinner to know that we're no longer held accountable, that we are forgiven of our sin. But then it's a voice of comfort for the saint of God. Boy, I'm telling you, when there's times that we just need God to come by and speak to our heart. Has there been times you need him speak to you? I'm not talking about getting the word outside of the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. And I think y'all understand. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit comes by and works in our heart. I listen and gives us something out of Scripture. Maybe gives us a song, a good song. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, there's been times, friend, where songs have helped me. Ain't nothing wrong with singing, friend. Ain't nothing wrong with good doctrinal, scriptural songs. Ain't nothing wrong with them.
Listen, I believe God can use those things in a time of grief. I believe that He can come by and speak to our heart when we're in doubt and uncertainty, when troubles come and arise in our life. He can speak to us and calm us. What was it in Mark chapter 6? His disciples were floating in the boat out there. It was more than floating in the boat. They were fighting that storm, wasn't they? Fighting the storm. The Lord put them in before it got dark, the Bible tells us. And He said, go over to the other side. Mark chapter 4, He had been on the boat with them when the storm arose. But in Mark chapter 6, He's not on the boat. The Bible said that He's went up in the mountain to pray. And the Bible says that there arose and that a great wind and a storm come upon the Sea of Galilee. And you all know the story that He saw them from the seashore over there, that they were toiling and rowing. And listen, the Bible said that He come to them in the fourth watch of the night. That's the latest time of the night. That is from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the middle of the night. I've got my time right. That is at the time when it's probably and that going to be the darkest. That's when it is the latest of the night time. Listen, do you reckon them boys was just wanting day and that to appear and they fought and they fought and they fought all night and that to row and they needed some help. They needed Him to come by. They needed to hear something and that from heaven. The Bible said, but when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. But look at the next part. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm glad that the Lord can come by and whisper in our heart, it is I, be not afraid. We may have to toil and row in the storm and wonder where He's at, but I'll guarantee you that voice of comfort will come and He'll say, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Hey, the clouds will roll back, the sun will shine. That day's coming, friend. You just got to keep toiling and rowing. But it's a voice not only for comfort, it's not only for conviction, but it's for the course of our life. You find in that with Elijah over here, it was that still, small voice that the Lord come to him in and told him what he needed to do. It's that still, small voice. A lot of people, as I've already said, they're wanting that voice that is like an earthquake that rattles and that everything comes through like a whirlwind and a fire. And if we would just sit down and get still and be very quiet, I believe we could hear God. I've said this before in passing meetings, and I can remember some of the meetings in the past in my young adult life. But I it just seems like one sticks in my mind, and you think, did I really dream this? But I remember being in meeting, and one of the times that God come by, man, it was just as quiet. It was just as solemn could be. Listen, I think folk were really concerned. I think folk were praying. And it was just a solemn service. And I'm telling you, God can come by. But it's the course of our life that He speaks to us out of this book to guide us. He said in Matthew chapter 11, he that hath ears, let him hear. I think we need to be listening so that we can hear. Ain't that right this morning? He told us in Psalms 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a voice that will guide us in the course of life. If we'll pray and say, Lord, we need some help. I need some help. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been out talking to folk about the Lord. And I'll never forget, I was talking to a feller one day and that about him, about Jesus. Actually, let me rephrase that. I was talking about him coming to church.
And he was in a vehicle. Well, I'll tell you, it's James. And I remember standing at the window at his truck, and I invited him into church, and I turned to walk away. And as I turned to walk away, I probably made about 3 steps, and it might as well have been audible. I mean, that voice that come from heaven might as well have been audible at this point. Because it's just like the Lord said, "Hey, you didn't say nothing about me. You didn't say one thing about me. You invited him to church, but you didn't tell him how he needed to get saved. You didn't tell him what I could do for him." And I ain't never forgot what I done. When that come down, when that voice, and you said, "Preacher, you're hearing things, you're mental." Hey, I'll tell you, sometimes I think I am a little crazy. I do. I know y'all think I'm crazy, and I know my wife knows I'm crazy. But I'll never forget when the Lord said, "You didn't say nothing about me," I just turned right back around, walked right back to the truck, and asked him, "Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved?" And stood there and witnessed to him about what he needed to do to get saved. You know, a lot of times we get in a hurry. Because, see, I've been on the other end of that too, where God has spoke and I just wasn't listening. Or let me put it to you like this. I heard it, but I wasn't listening to it. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like hearing your mom and daddy sometimes when you're kids and you just don't do nothing about it. My mother said one time, she said, "I'd always tell you to get up and get ready and tie your shoes and said, you just sit there." And she says, "I'd tell you again. And you just sit there." And she said, "I'd finally, on that third time, tell you to get up and tie your shoes or I'm coming to get you." And she would always say you would automatically get up at that time. Can I guarantee you I heard her the first 2 times? Sometimes we just hear, but we don't listen. The course of our life should be guided by the voice of the Lord. Sometimes it's the long course that we're trying to figure out. And I believe this is, I've never been in the military, but I believe this is how it works. You work off the last order that you were given. Have you ever been somewhere in a situation or just a time in life where you really thought that you needed to hear from God? You really thought that you needed in that the Lord to speak? But listen, it's just like He wouldn't come. You ever been there? I have. And you know the one thing that them old timers taught me, or at least listening to their preaching, was you just keep doing what you're doing until He tells you to do something new. I thought that's pretty good. But then number 4. And this is the last one. It's not only a voice of conviction, a voice of comfort. Boy, when you need comfort in your heart, I'm glad He can bring it. It's not only a voice for the course of our life, but it is a voice of condemnation. There is coming a day when sinners are going to stand before a just and almighty God. There's coming a day at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, where the Bible talks about that heaven and earth fled away and there was found no place for them. And here stands the sinners that never trusted Christ Jesus the Lord, and that standing before Him, if you would let me put it this way, with no place to hide. And here's what they'll hear. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." These verses used to bother me. They really did. They just some verses in the Bible that, and there's probably some that still bother me if you don't know the truth. But these verses used to bother me. Because it would say, "Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not cast out devils, or have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And
And that thing used to bother me because I would say, well, then, Lord, who's going to get in? I mean, you've got people standing before the Lord that has served Him, that have done many things in His name. But I want you to look at what He said. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you read, I believe it's John chapter 6, you find the will of the Father over there that you believe on the Son. I mean, that's what He tells us. He says the will of the Father is for you to believe on the Son. Many are doing good works. Many are doing good works in the name of the Heavenly Father. Many are doing good works in the name of Jesus, but they have never and that trusted Him. They have never come to a saving knowledge of Him. They have never been saved and that by the marvelous grace and that of God. And listen, they're going to stand before Him guilty just as an old drunkard, an old harlot that never got saved, that left out of this world lost and dying without Christ, hey, they'll stand together in the same judgment one day with the same condemnation that comes from that throne that says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. John chapter 12, here's what Jesus said. He said, I am come alive into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Ain't that a wonderful thought and a wonderful word? Now watch what he said. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know what's going to judge sinners and bring condemnation? The word of God. I believe this with all my heart. Sinners are going to stand before a just God, going to stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And I have no doubt for this generation, for our lifetime, that friend, He's going to have a King James Bible sitting on that throne with Him. And He can show them what He said. He can show them what the Bible says and that about being saved. Those words that they turned away. Friend, and if you're not saved, it's the same words that you're turning away today. There's going to be a voice of condemnation. In other words, it's a voice of being condemned and that to die for eternity in the lake of fire. The saddest words anybody will ever hear is what's in Matthew 7. Where He said, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's for eternity.